Hey, what up, y'all? It's your girl, Vivica A. Fox here, and welcome to my podcast, Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Okay, y'all, got something new for y'all today, because today we got a sports show, and we have one of my favorite star athletes. My guest is a 2016 WNBA champion, three-time WNBA All-Star, point guard for the LA Sparks, one of the best teams in the WNBA, if I can add, okay? Please welcome to Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, Chelsea Gray.
Thank you. Wow, what a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
Girl, listen, y'all, I got to let y'all know, okay? Little backstory. The Vivica Fox Hair Collection has been a very, very proud sponsor of the LA Sparks for the past five seasons. And with being a sponsor, part of my packages, I get some great seats. So, Chelsea,
I'm
at every game.
Right there.
Courtside.
Right
standing
there.
Standing up.
Girl. Right there. I'm telling you, the referees are probably like, we got Vivica to deal with on the sidelines today.
Because let me tell you, sometimes I feel like I almost want to get out on the court, okay? Because I just admire how hard you guys work. And let me tell y'all something. I did a movie called Joanna Man back in the day. And this is where my love for the WNBA started, because I played a basketball player, and it was with Miguel Nunez, and that was when the WNBA had just started. And can I tell you, those ladies showed up and showed out for me. And so I always remembered that. Like, I remembered so that when it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is and support the WNBA, that's why I've always been there. And that's why I've always had a connection to the WNBA. I don't know. Did you know that about me? That was one of the main reasons why I cheer so loudly for y'all?
I did not know that, but it's funny you say that, because sometimes we'll be like, you have an outside, we'll be shooting outside or something, me and my family. And there's an outside like a shower after you get out the pool, and we're in our like bathing suits, and we're never take it off during the game. Never take it off. That was one of those key lines in those movies. And that's so funny that, because we love that movie. So
yes, good. Well, I'm glad. Well, that's where my connection started. And then I just remember being going to the Sparks games back in the days with Lisa Leslie. I've been a fan forever, and being there when they won the championship. And then you are like generation next, for as far as I'm concerned, for the Sparks and for the WNBA. But we're going to get all into that. So tell me, how did you become this amazing basketball player? Where did that all start for you? When did you pick up a basketball?
I first picked up a basketball when I was really young, 4 years old. I had three brothers, and the second oldest one actually was the first one to put a ball in my hand. And it was just one of those times where it was a kind of a family thing. We were always in the backyard, hooping, playing sports. I was trying to play football. Parents didn't let me play football. That's another story.
Thank God.
And I tried soccer. I love soccer, actually, but I was better at basketball. And it just kind of stuck with me. And from then on, you know, my parents would take me to AAU games, to practices. My eldest brother was play with me outside. They would always pick me on the team. You know, everybody, all the boys were out there like, okay, bring your five. And it was just always this little girl that was in every single thing. And that was me.
Really? So wait a minute. You played with the boys growing up?
Oh, I played with the boys all the time. Until it got a little bit more organized in like the AAU circuit. I was with the boys. It was a co-ed league when I really started out. So I was always playing with guys when I was little.
Can I tell you, for me, because I played, you know, not to brag on my hooping skills, but we had the backyard bucket. My dad was a basketball player, and I used to get out there and play with my brothers and them, trying to hang with them and spend time with them. And then my basketball team in high school, we won the city championship. And yes, girls, for just so you know, girl, okay, I got a nice little jump shot. Do you, if you go to like, say, a gym or something, will you play with the guys? Are the guys intimidated when they see you rolling through?
There's actually been a couple of times in which I do go play in an open gym or something at a local gym, and they'll see I have a Sparks shirt on and be like, oh, you know somebody on Sparks? I was like, no, I play. And they'll be like, wait a minute. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then finally they see my game and they're like, where you play at? Like all these questions around the gym. When they see a woman in the gym, they're just like, oh, you know, she might play. But when they see an actual WNBA player, they're like, oh, it's a lot of respect, which I actually appreciate. It's respect.
Yeah, after you tap that ass, right? Pow! Yeah, you see definitely. That shot coming. Bam! Because let me tell you something. You guys have to realize the WNBA that, you know, things have changed so much that you ladies are such inspiration for little girls. You know, that's what I love about when you go to a Sparks game is that it's so family friendly. It's so much fun. It's like the kids are having fun. They're dancing. That's why I'm always there. And whenever I can, you know, let people know how wonderful it is and how fun the games are. I bring, you know, I'll be having my guy babies with me at all the games, and they just absolutely love it. But also, once you started playing for, like, say, you know, in the league for just women, who was your biggest inspiration?
You know, I always fell back on my family, you know, watching the game. I was a huge Tisha Panichero fan, and she actually came to the Sparks, and I watched.
Who was that again, darling?
Tisha Panichero.
Oh.
She was a point guard. She played for the Sacramento Monarchs for a long time. And then she came to the Sparks for a little bit. But I loved her game. She was great. Their passing ability. I think I watched a lot of her videos and highlights and things like that. And oddly enough, on the men's side, it was Magic Johnson. Oh. And he was the Lakers.
Right.
So it's just crazy how it comes full circle. And I'm playing in LA now.
Yeah.
And you know, both of the people that I really watched and really watched film on and things like that, mm-hmm. both played in LA at some point.
Wow. So let's get right into that. That leads me to my next question, to be honest with you, because you have been nicknamed Point God. I love the way they and Chelsea, you got that name because of your no-look Magic Johnson style passes. And then how ironic is that, you know, Magic Johnson is Mr. King of LA and this all of the sports team. Who gave you that name?
Candace actually gave me that name originally. I think she did a shout out for my birthday or something like that. And she said, happy birthday to my point God. And I was just like, okay, she just makes something else different. And then I just sort of took off from there. Now everybody's calling me that. And then I appreciate it now. Like that's my own little, you know, tag. Like somebody, like Kobe had the bean or the mom. Yeah. Like, now I'm a point God. And I'm just like, okay, I'm a point God.
I love it.
It just kind of stuck with me and I just fully embrace it.
To our listeners that, you know, may not be as know all the technical names for different positions of basketball teams, let's explain to them how important a point guard is for the basketball team, because the point guard makes a lot of decisions and basically kind of leads the charge for the team's offense, correct? Explain to them what a point guard is.
Yeah, I think when you kind of look at it as, you know, it's kind of the head of the snake for the team. It makes a lot of decisions. The point guard is an extension of the coach on the court. You have to know the playbook inside and out, different positions, how people, you can put people in the best position to be successful. And that's always running through my mind, whether I'm watching film, whether I'm doing something else, or I'm just talking to one of my teammates. But how do you get the team to play their best basketball on the court at all times?
Right.
And it's sort of a juggling type of things, like a time to when, you know, you call your own number. But, you know, a time where you kind of balance it out and be like, hey, NECA got it going today. Let's go. We're going to run this play, but we're going to put her in a different position. Mm. And I think that's what makes point guards the greatest position, is because, you know, they're like the people that's you know, in the orchestra that has everything, like, okay, you go here, you go here.
The conductor.
And then it's nice to just sit back and cross your legs and like, that was
smooth. And can I tell you, smooth. I have been on the receiving end of sitting front row and watching the magic of those passes, the magic of that offense. I enjoy watching you guys play, and especially you. You're just absolutely one of my favorites. As a matter of fact, you have made history, my friend. Okay, you have made history. You have become the ninth player in league history and the third player in the sports franchise to record a triple-double. Okay, yeah, a triple-double. Let's talk about that triple-double, all right? Okay, y'all. See, I know what a triple-double is, but I'm going to let Chelsea let y'all know what a triple-double is. Tell me.
So, at the real basic level, is, you know, when you have three categories and you have double digits. So, I can't even remember, but I think in that game I might have had 12 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. So, I effectively got a triple-double. So, I feel like it's kind of difficult because you can have an off day in scoring, but you still have to put the ball in the hole. You have to get rebounds. You know the post players like to take the rebounds. And then you have assists. You have to rely on other people to you know, complete your basket. So, I think it's a testament to who I play with and who I have around me, because a lot of those times, like, it's not just me making the play, you know? Mm. So I really appreciate being able to do that with the team that we had.
It's very impressive. Very impressive. As we told y'all, that point guard, that position is so amazing. And the fact that she can do a triple-double just lets you know how connected she is with leading the team. So let's talk about the WNBA had their very first virtual draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, like, ratings, like, through the roof. And when I first heard that it was going to be virtual, to me, I was kind of like, oh, poor babies. Here these girls are, like, you know, they're going to go into the WNBA. Draft night is, like, amazing. And they don't get to go. Where was it going to be held at? Did you know it was in New York or somewhere like that?
I can't remember where it was going to be held at. I think they just decided, you know, with everything going the way it was, mm-hmm. to have a virtual draft and just make it the best possible. And I think they did a good job with that. And the ratings were very high. I think it also went into account that everybody's at home right now. So they're just, people are dying to have something that is live and is not pre-recorded or has been on before. So I think people that normally do not tune into the WNBA or would watch the draft if other games were on or other things were on that were live,
yeah,
tuned in,
yeah,
which was really nice. So maybe we created another gap and bridge the gap between other fans and people watching the game, getting familiar with faces and names and the way people talk. And I think they did a good job with, you know,
they did
make these rookies feel special.
Yeah, it was the highest rated draft pick in 16 years. Mm. Is that impressive or what? Let's talk about your draft night. Where was it at? How was that night for you?
It was crazy. So, like, I was a nervous wreck. I couldn't eat the night before. The day of, I felt like I was on an empty stomach because all I was drinking was water. I was nervous, you know, couldn't really sleep. But it was in Connecticut, and oddly enough, I actually got drafted to Connecticut, so the energy was really high. They invited some fans to come out if they were able to, and they sat in the stands and cheered on people that got, you know, that got called. So when I got called for Connecticut, like, the arena went wild, and it was crazy, and I didn't know where I was going to get picked. I had went through a traumatic, you know, injury my senior year. So I was just like, oh, I definitely am going to slide down the draft. And you kind of really, unless you're top three, top five, you really don't know if or when your name is going to be called.
So it is nerve-wracking. Yeah. And Chelsea, yeah, you went in the first round, the 11th overall pick in 2014, as you said, to the Connecticut Sun. What'd you wear? You remember your outfit?
Oh, yeah. I had a nice, like, you know, the whitish gray dress with a little outline and with my heels. You know, I thought I was doing something. You know what I'm saying? I was like, you know what? My outfit got to be on point. So when I get up to the, you know, podium and I show my jersey, you know, they're going to be like, oh, what she got on?
Right.
Flash forward a few. I was like, oh, Chelsea, but those heels may not have been a good decision. You know? But I think it was good.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you, that is the one thing I absolutely love about you. Your fashion game, baby. Chelsea, look, let me tell y'all something. Is a point guard. But when it comes to the fashion, like, when I got to know you a little bit better, I was like, oh, my gosh, she's so girly. I mean, mama will put on her heels, will put on her makeup. Well, I was like the first time I saw her, I was like, Chelsea, because on the court, y'all, when Chelsea step on that court, it's a whole nother animal. But when it's time for like the award shows and this, you get like really, really girly. Like I was, that was surprising to me. So you had on a dress, heels, the whole nine?
Yeah, the whole nine, girl. I had it all done. And I like to be able to, you know, do different type of styles. I'm not going to wear a dress all the time.
Real talk.
That's just not what I am. But, you know, sometimes I like to switch it up and have different looks. And I think that's just part of who I am and how I kind of show my style.
I love that. I love that. Now let's talk about a little business, because the WNBA signed a new agreement on January 14th, tripling the players' compensation, establishing maternity leave, and other benefits that I personally feel that you all have been due for a very long time. That's why every year I put my money where my mouth is and I support you guys. How did you feel when you heard about the new agreement that it finally went through?
I was excited. I think there were a lot of negotiations happening to kind of find a common ground on certain aspects of the agreement. I think it's good about maternity leave and things like that, because, you know, when you think about it, like when women have to take time off from playing their sport, mm-hmm. and men don't necessarily, I mean, you're seeing it more with like how Jimmy Butler left a game to see the birth of his child.
Yes.
But you know, a woman, they for sure have to leave.
Okay.
There's not even a question leading up to it. They're not in the game. So I think, you know, kind of putting that in the CBA, it was just like, hey, we're doing a lot here. So why not, you know, be rewarded for it and actually give us what we deserve. And I think our players union, NECA, a fellow teammate, was huge in that. She's the president of our union.
Yes, NECA.
Yeah, shout out to NECA for yes, that. Yep. Sinead actually on the committee as well. Myself and Sydney Weiss are player representatives of the Spark.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, with that, I was just really excited to finally have something on paper and something to agree with. And our union did one heck of a job of, you know, going to the league and being like, hey, this is what we deserve. And now we're not where we probably will be in 10, 15 years. But I think part of it is always to leave the league better than we found it.
Yes, ma'am.
Really did that. And I think it was pushing forward, you know, the narrative of how women in sport are supposed to be treated.
And well, let's talk about that, because this year at the WNBA draft, Gianna Bryant, they honored her by making her a draft pick. And I took that one hard.
Yeah.
I did. I took that one really, really hard, because I'm sorry.
It was hard for all of us. You know, two weeks before that, I was just with Kobe, and I was talking with him and was hoping, when I was done with USA Basketball, I still, to this day, I can't delete his text message.
He left you a message? You had a text messages from him?
Yeah, it was like, I sent him a message because he had a little camp for WNBA players to come in.
Wow.
And I sent him a text message like, hey, when I get back to LA, let's sit down, let's watch film. We were talking about it, about Gigi and how good she was going to be and how good, you know, she had that Mamba mentality in her. The way he talked about Gigi and how great she was going to be. And I think, you know, seeing how interested and how she wanted to be great, it inspired something inside Kobe. He was one heck of a dad. And I think you take that and you see what the WNBA did with that, with Gigi and honoring her. You know, you felt that with Kobe at the game.
Yeah.
You felt that with the conversations Kobe would have with different people. And it was sad to hear. I mean, it's sad to lose a legend, but you're also sad of a future legend. And yes. I'm just happy that our league was able to, you know, honor her and the rest of the the rest of the girls that was on that helicopter.
Exactly. My favorite memories of seeing, of like when I got to kind of see Kobe in like a different way, was at the Sparks games. He mm-hmm. would come and he was so supportive. And all of a sudden I would hear, "Yo, Viv." And I would turn around and I would get the biggest smile and the best hug. And he was always with Gigi. And always. I'll never forget where I was. I was getting ready to get on a flight from Los Angeles to go to Chicago when I first heard. And at first, it just seemed so unbelievable. And I got the Wi-Fi service because we were taking off. And I was like, oh my gosh, please, you just kept wanting to hear a miracle, you know, like, say somebody survived something. And I just remember being so sad. I literally cried from like Los Angeles to Chicago where we were filming Empire. And it just was one of the saddest things because I just really felt like, you know, Gigi was going to be the future of the WNBA with Kobe, like, you know, but they left a lasting legacy that we have to be forever grateful for. So I was really proud to see that the WNBA, you know, did that for Gigi.
Yeah, definitely. I was excited for her career and her pathway to success, and not just following or being around Kobe, but in her own right, she had something.
Yeah,
and it's just, you know, and just big ups to, you know, Vanessa and how she's raising her daughters now.
Exactly.
And they lost a sister, you know?
Yes.
They lost a sister that was on that pathway to continue. And I remember this story with Kobe. I was watching something and somebody was interviewing him. He was like, you know, you need to have a son, Kobe. You need to have a son, you know, continue the legacy, to continue this, you know? You know, it can't just stop here. And Gigi goes, she tells him, he's like, nah, I got this.
Yes. Oh, you know? I love that story. And you know what?
Yeah, that story is epic. And I think I'll always remember that.
And then, you know what other story I love too, is when the one sports reporter said she was pregnant and that she ran up, saw Kobe, and he was like, oh, what are you having? And she was like, oh, I'm having a girl. My husband wanted a boy. And he goes, I love girls. I make the best girl dad. And it's just like, oh girl, I mean, it's gonna start me to turn it into just a puddle of tears. But rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace, Gigi, and everybody else that passed away on that. But we'll move forward. But just so y'all know, Kobe Bryant and Gigi, like, they were gonna be, it was gonna be something good. So we're gonna continue to push forward and keep girl sports alive and well. But, you know, how about Corona? Because look here, I was ready, okay? I was ready with my season seats. I was getting my ads together. And here come Corona. Lord, okay? Like, really? So right. Where do we stand? What's happening? I mean, we've never experienced anything like this. Like, or did we ever think that we would experience anything like this, you know? So what do you think? How's this going to affect life after, you know, for... any ideas? Have they talked about it at all?
I think right now they're just trying to figure out how to best attack being able to have a season. There's been so much momentum because we talked about, you know, the CBA earlier. It's so much momentum with the WNBA that they want to try to have some type of season. What that looks like, it will be different than any other season, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what that looks like and the steps and precautions that the league itself has to take to protect coaches, players, owners.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to draft up what these different scenarios right now. And right now we're virtually doing training camp kind of.
Wow. Now, when Corona first broke out, you were in Turkey, right?
I was.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it kind of broke out and it was just like, okay, like, you know, Corona, like people, a couple people may be sick, you know, it's fine. Everybody will be good. And then they were talking about, you know, it can transfer through touch. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. What's going on? Like, we don't have a vaccine. I'm sorry, a little bit.
Yeah.
Screw real fast. And so I was playing in Istanbul, Turkey for a team, Fenerbahce. And we had one game without fans. And it was against our rival, against Galatasaray. And we were playing, and I was just like, this is weird. Like, this, I don't think I could play like this. Like, we're, no matter who is in the stands or not in the stands. We're still touching people when we're playing the game.
Exactly. Because that's what I was just going to say. It's like, so what are you guys going to do? Play with masks on and the gloves? Right. I mean, it just, it's a contact sport.
Yeah, exactly. So we were just like, okay, I think we got to leave. And then our GM, we were talking back and forth, like, are they going to suspend the league? Are they going to, you know, cancel the league? Right now, still as it stands, it's technically suspended. Wow. With the hope of resuming. I don't know how, when, if it will. I think they're going to talk about that over there in Turkey. But they said, like, the season is going to be suspended. And I say, a lot of the foreigners were gone.
Wow. So you were part of the USA Basketball pre-Olympic training program, right?
Yes.
And you were supposed to go to the Olympics as well?
So they were so this program was just, you know, a college tour playing against college teams to kind of create an excitement and things about USA Basketball leading up to Olympics, but also give a chance for, you know, a team to kind of be formed, get a chemistry, get a camaraderie. So when Olympics hit, like, we kind of already know each other and it's not a team already just built within 1 week or so. And they were going to choose the team, I think, around this time, wow, choosing the team who was going to go into the Olympics. So now that's gotten pushed back as well to know who officially would be on the team. But I am in the pool and in the running to be
as you should. Okay. And see, that's another thing about Corona. It's like, you know, so many athletes, the Olympics come around like every 4 years. I mean, for you, you're on a professional basketball team, but I just think about poor athletes, like, you know, your track and field, gymnastics, all of those people that, like, when the Olympics come around, like, they really get an opportunity to shine. You know what I mean? That it's like, it's just robbed so many moments. So how are you staying fit now? What's going on? How are you staying in shape?
Well, we have a home gym. Mm-hmm. We just got a Peloton, so riding on that a lot.
Wait. Because look here, did you get sucked into the whole Peloton craze?
I did. My wife was like, you know what? I think we need a Peloton. I was like, are you sure? And she was just like, yes, I think I really want one. How are we also going to stay in shape? This thing, we're going to have to stay at home. We can't go outside. Parks are not, like, we need to get something. I was like, okay.
And so what do you think? Like, how is it? Is it?
I actually really love it.
Really?
It's a different type of workout. It's like, it's a bike, but the way they push you, the resistance, the cadence, you know, the instructors right there pushing you. I actually really like it. And then we have weights and we have bands and things like that for our home gym. So we do other things as well.
To stay in shape.
And I do ball handling outside, but... besides that, I'm on the bike pretty much every day.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna tell you, I have been going stir crazy. Like I said, I'm used to being at the airport on a flight, doing appearances, doing shows, this and that there. How are you keeping from going stir crazy?
I've been doing a bunch of Zoom calls. And I've been writing a lot more. I've been kind of doing a vision of, you know, what I want my life to be like in a few years. It gives time to think of, you know, how are you making steps towards that? Mm-hmm. Puzzles, you know, spending time with family, my nephews, you know, just doing different things like that.
I heard you've been cooking.
I've been throwing down, girl.
Well, let me tell you this. Everybody's asked me about that too, because I don't cook. I live by myself. So I, as I tell people, I order fantastically. So the fact that you are going to the kitchen, what's your specialty dish? What you making?
Ooh, specialty. I got two categories, right? So if it's a lot of people, I probably throw in some tacos, you know,
right?
It up a little bit, some tacos, and then my turkey ground meatballs, teriyaki with a little teriyaki sauce at the top, with sweet potatoes. Mm-hmm. Ooh,
what? What? Are you also making some lasagna?
Yeah, I made some zucchini lasagna the day. That was a new tester. My wife and I were just like, we need to try something different. Let's do something different. And she was like, okay, I got this recipe from NECA. Let's do zucchini lasagna. I was like, let's do it. So I was like, okay. And it came out extremely well. So
good.
We're going to try new things every week.
Well, throughout the interview, you and I do know her. Your beautiful wife. I always see her at the games. We always holler at each other in the chairman's lounge. And Let's talk a little bit about your wife. Tell everybody about your wife who you just married last November.
Yeah, her name is Tepesish. We were together for about, let me not get this wrong because when she listened to this.
Don't get in trouble.
Excuse me, you don't know the date. but we were together for 5 years and we recently got married November 2019. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's my soulmate. She's my everything.
I love that. Where'd y'all get married at?
We got married in Malibu.
Yes.
So it was great. She loves the ocean. So it had an ocean view for sure. But it was great. It was a great time. Family and friends came out. It wasn't too big. Mm-hmm. Wasn't very small, but it was just the right amount of people, right environment, right vibe. But I mean, I love her to death and she's everything for me.
Oh, now I want to know about them dresses. You know, here I go again, you know, fashionista Miss Fox over here. Uh-huh. The dresses were beautiful. Who were the dresses by?
I actually don't really know where her, because we didn't know what each other's dresses looked like. Oh. So there's a local boutique out here in Texas. It's called Blushing Bride Boutique. Okay. And so I went there. I was like, you know what? I know I want strapless. I know I want this. So I was just looking at different ideas. And I saw an idea there at Blushing Bride. And I was like, can you do this, this, and this? Can you make my train this long? Can you do, like, I kind of mix and match what my vision was from one of the dresses that they already had. But it ended up being great. And
you all looked beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. So your wife posted about on social media about becoming a baby mama. What was that?
You know what? I have no idea what that post. I meant to ask her about that hashtag. So I'm like, you have people asking me questions. And here comes Vivica here asking me about the hashtag. But no, we are waiting right now. Nothing is happening, especially with this corona.
Yes. So,
We had a couple of years before you start holding the baby on the sidelines.
You already know. You already know. I will. Okay, so what kind of mom do you think you'd be?
I go back and forth because, you know, you hear about this, like, okay, the sports mom, you know, or that you're going to be all at the games or you're going to try to coach your kids. I would love to coach my kids, but at the same time, I just want to be a mom. Like, I just want, you know, to cook for them, help them with their homework. I want to be one of those moms that we have communication with. You know, you can talk all these things, what you want to do, but I think you really only know until, you know, you start being in the process, start having conversations with your kids. And I'm probably going to be a fun parent and she's going to be like, you need to do this, this, and this. And I'm just like, okay. But, and I'm sure they're going to come to me and ask me like, can we have a cookie?
Yes, I know.
You said no, but can we have a cookie?
Girl.
I do it with my nephews already, so I already know it's probably going to translate.
How about I'm the same way? I have 6 godchildren. I didn't have children. And all my godbabies, they be like, Gigi, Gma, they come to me sneaking, wanting to do stuff. And I'm kind of the softy, but I'm like, here, don't be getting me in trouble. All right. Your mama said, you know what I mean? It's like, but I'm the kind that I'm like, hey, if you do good things and you get good grades, I reward you. I spoil them. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with them. It gives them motivation.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So this is the question I have to ask, because everyone has been, and including myself, and I know this might be a little bit before your era, but what else is getting crazy ratings is The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls thing. Have you been watching that?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's amazing. I think it's great to be able to watch as a person that wasn't in that era to really understand what that did for basketball. Mm. And, you know, 92, I was just being born, you know, so it's like, what do you remember, you know, but I don't remember anything. But it's cool to, you know, you see videos, I've looked on YouTube on Jordan, I've looked on Pippen and Robin, I've looked at these players on YouTube, and to now see it come into, like, with with this documentary, The Last Dance, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what that was like. And just the way they're talking and the way they're remembering every little detail, it's just like, dang, it really shifted a lot of things with basketball, you know?
With basketball in general, it's just like, I just feel like each generation took it to different levels, from Dr. J to then, like, Magic and Larry Bird to then like Michael Jordan and then to, you know, Kobe and then now to LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, it's just to see that amazing growth. But to me, it's like Michael Nim really, really took it, you know, to like, it just seemed like it exploded. Like, it was showtime. Like, for me, that was my era, girl. I remember being at them games. Dang, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I was like, well, I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. So I'm a Hoosier. So we grow up. That's also another reason where my love for basketball comes from. So to watch this, for me, it's like going down memory lane. And I'm just glad that, you know, it lets the younger generation get an appreciation for the sacrifices and all the stuff that they had to go through. And then also that they can share that love with our girls, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think they also set the standard for men and women. It's like, oh, you have this many rings, but you don't have as much as Jordan. Or you have these many rings, you have this top team, but can you beat Jordan's team in 96? Can you beat this team in 92? You know, even when the Golden State Warriors were having a great run in their own right, it was just like, okay, but can they beat the team that Jordan had with Scottie Pippen, Steve Kerr? Robin, you know, they're always comparing to that team, to Jordan. You know, that's like, you know, the ceiling for players. If you're able to be in that conversation, it's like, they're legit. And I think that's what people are trying to understand and notice by watching The Last Dance.
Right. And the fact that they won 6 championships, right, Michael? I think that was the last thing you remember him. 6. And then when somebody like tried to talk crazy a little bit, Jordan just put up the picture with him with all the rings. You know what I mean? Like, say what? You know what I mean?
Like, you ain't got nothing on this. So tell me, what's next?
And can I tell you, let's just talk about, just real quickly before we get ready to close this out soon. I was so mad last season, girl. I was devastated about the end of the season. I just knew we was going to be getting that ring. I was ready as a sponsor to have my Sparks championship ring, but y'all going to be back.
We're going to have it together. We're going to get back, whether it be this season, next season, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think we're making plans to have it back.
What are your goals for the Sparks team? What are some of the goals that you've all talked about?
So short-term goals, to win a championship the next time, you know.
Yes. And wait a minute. And now we got Christy Tolliver, who back in the day, isn't that who they traded Christy for you?
No. So Christy was on the team, and I was excited because once I got the call that I got traded, I was like, oh, Christy Tolliver there, Nneka Ogumike there, Candace Parker there. Like, I was ready. And that's when we won the championship, though, in 2016.
Yes.
So it was exciting. I think now her being back is great momentum as well. I think everybody has gotten better since we, you know, kind of separated a little bit.
Yeah. Can I tell you that last year I was so devastated when y'all lost. I was like, I'm still going to the WNBA championship game. I am. So I did. I sure did. I went to the Washington, D.C. It was the Mystics against Connecticut Sun, who...
We're just gonna bypass that.
But anyway, it was awesome. They treated me, they made me like an honorary captain. They were like, okay, Vivica. But it was just, I just love the WNBA, and the game was awesome. It was so good. Like, I'm trying to tell our listeners, if you want to go see some hooping, you got to go. These girls, they pass that ball, they shooting these threes, like it ain't no joke. And I just come support the WNBA, please, when we come back. If you weren't a basketball player, a professional basketball player, what would you do? Have you ever thought of that? Like, what else? Like me, if I'm an actress, if I was an actress, I would probably be a sportscaster. That's how much I love sports.
I would probably do something either in the music industry.
Really?
Yeah, I really appreciate music. I write a lot. Like, if I had the courage all the time to try to rap, I probably would.
You want to drop a couple of bars for us, Tessa?
Vivica Fox Show. Y'all tune in. Checking in. See, Gravy checking in. Hey.
Hey. See it? I'm your hype girl still. I'm your hype girl.
We all need that hype person, right? But no, I would probably do something in music or some type of thing in sports, because it's not just basketball. Like, I love the art of competing for a championship, putting together a team. So I don't know, maybe soccer, something.
You keep bringing up soccer. Soccer. Where'd that come from?
I played when I was younger. It was soccer and basketball. I would leave soccer practice to go to basketball practice, leave basketball practice to go to soccer practice.
Wow.
So it was those two sports. So,
okay, well, can I ask, is coaching in your future? Can you see yourself?
Yeah, I could see myself coaching. I also want to, you know, relax and be a business owner as well. So
right.
So it's not about, you know, working and I just want to do something I love.
Okay, can I say this? So to all of our listeners out there, did you all hear what Chelsea said? She says, not just being a coach, owning. Okay? See, that is what the beauty of what Magic Johnson inspired into me, into a whole bunch of athletes, that it's not just about being an athlete and getting the trophies and having the jewelry and the car and this, that, and the third. It's about what's after you play as a basketball player. What's the future? So I'm trying to tell y'all, that's why she's my favorite. that's my girl. What? I love it. Well, listen, we're going to have a little bit of fun before I let you go, because I appreciate, people don't know that about me, but I love trivia and I love little games. So mine, I'm going to test your sports knowledge, if that's okay. Well, a couple of questions.
I hope I get it right, because this is going to be good.
Okay, so put on your thinking hat. Put on your thinking hat, okay? All right, so our game today is called Win It, Girl. So the first question is, who is the first woman to dunk in the WNBA? A, Tina Thompson. B, Sue Bird. C, Lisa Leslie. Your answer?
Lisa.
Yes, you got it. Correct answer is Lisa Leslie of the WNBA Sparks, who dunked first. Yes, Lisa. Okay, question number two. In tennis, which woman holds the most Grand Slam titles? A, Martina Navratilova. B, Serena Williams. C, Steffi Graf.
Serena Williams.
Boom! Serena, Serena. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, we got two. That's two. Two out of two. Okay, question three. In women's soccer, your favorite, which country has won the most World Cup titles? A, USA. B, Germany. C, England.
I mean, I think I'm going to have to go United States there.
Boom! You 3 for 3, point guard! You 3 for 3, okay? The correct answer is USA. Who was one of the first people to stand up for equal pay? Equal pay, weren't they? They was like, yo, look here, we're getting just as much attention as the boys are, so equal pay. So we love that.
I know. Shout out to Megan.
I love her. Love her for that, because she was not playing with them. And she was... Talk about all the award shows. She looked fabulous.
That's a woman that could do different looks as well.
I love it.
Yeah, I really love listening to her speak, listening to her talk, her, you know, talking on Instagram nowadays. It's been good.
I love it. Okay, question number four and last question of Win It, Girl. Who is the highest scoring player in WNBA history? A, Candace Parker. B, Tina Thompson. C, Diana Taurasi.
Diana.
Yes. Let me tell y'all something. That's when I got, I'm telling you, she did Joanna Man with us. And let me tell you something. I thought I was in shape. It could run. They was passing that ball so fast by me. I was sucking air. Do you hear me? I was like, oh my God, I was sucking wind. But yes, the correct answer is Diana Taurasi, who is just amazing. She's still playing, correct? She hasn't retired yet, has she?
No, she hasn't. She's still playing. That's another one, another person that wants to own something later on in life. So stand a lookout for that, most likely.
I love that. I love it. Okay, so before we close out, what would you like to see next for the WNBA?
Just inviting new fans, getting better. You know, I think with the CBA, there's a lot of excitement towards the game. So just, if anybody has not been to a WNBA game, trust me, you need to at least come to one. And I promise you, you will love it. You will love the atmosphere. And if you have to choose, please come to LA.
Thank you. Okay. Because y'all see Vivica Fox in the house and the Vivica Fox hair collection and the wig out cam. Because when they put that up every game, I just love it. How did it feel, Chelsea, for you guys? Because this last year campaign, Lead the Charge, you guys were like on everything. You were like on the side of trains and all that. How did you all feel with that campaign? It was awesome.
It actually was pretty cool. So I remember I was at home waiting to go to shoot around. And one of my friends texted me a picture. And I was like, oh, I don't really want to respond. But I opened it. And it was a picture of me on the bus. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Okay.
I think our front office did a great job of how to market and just do different ideas and do different things around the city of LA. I mean, everybody takes buses and trains, so like, why not put our faces on it?
And, can I tell you, for me as an actress, the first time I saw myself on the side of a bus, I damn near crashed into somebody. I was like, is that me on the side of a bus?
I know. I feel like they have so many options of who to put on a bus, and they chose us. I'm like, yep, we got it. You got to come now.
Yeah. And then you keep saying the CBA. Explain to our listeners before we go what you mean by that. The CBA is the collective bargaining agreement.
Yes. Contract between the players union plus with the league. And we're just pushing forward the narrative that women are great. Women deserve more. They're just as good or even better at some things within men. And, it's just an exciting time for the league. And there's a lot of push behind it. Even you see some people taking to Twitter about the accomplishments of the CBA. Yeah. And it's just a lot of attention behind it. And I just wish that a lot of fans or people that have heard about it, people that have talked about it, tell a friend, bring somebody to the game with you that hasn't been. But we're doing special things and we have special women that's leaders in their own right.
I love it. I love it. Well, point guard, Miss Chelsea Gray, thank you so much for enlightening, encouraging, inspiring our listeners for Hustling with Vivica A. Fox. Chelsea, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Yes, on all platforms, Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at cgray209. cgray209. Hit me. I'm following Vivica, so if you need to find me, look on her page.
Well, y'all, we have to give a round of applause for our girl, as she said, please find her. And this is going to lead us to today's Hustle Hack. And today's Hustle Hack is hashtag love wins. Listeners, in a time when there is a lot of fear and there's uncertainty in the world, it's never been more important to spread love. Only love can conquer fear. So choose your words with love in your heart. If you need to today, tell someone that you love them. It's okay. Do what you love and love whomever you want to love, because darlings, love always wins. Hashtag love wins. So you can find your girl Vivica Fox on Instagram. I'm at Miss V Fox. On Twitter, I'm at Miss Vivica Fox. For Hustling with Vivica A. Fox, you can find us at Vivica Hustling. Subscribe, download to Hustling with your girl Vivica A. Fox. Until next time, darlings, bye for now. Mwah.